Well, this month we're, of course, you know, it's almost like a duh. It's Thanksgiving, November. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. And we're just going to be talking about a thankful heart, just having a thankful heart. And go up to slide one real quick, Joe. A thankful heart requires action. Something's got to happen. And some people would say, well, I said thank you. Those of you that have kids, you probably understand this. Your kids can say thank you, and you're like, you do not mean that. There's no evidence from your face that you mean that. Well, I said thank you, kind of like saying I'm sorry when you know, siblings hit each other. Go tell your brother sorry. I'm sorry. There's just no evidence that they were sorry. And a lot of times we as adults, we can say thank you. We can even say thank you to God. But where is the action? Where is the evidence? It's just words. Can any of you attest to that? You said to somebody or even to God, thank you. And deep down inside, you didn't mean it. All right, I only got one over here and I'll be number two. Okay, we got some hands. Other people need deliverance today. They need to raise their hand up. So Psalm 107, verse 1. I'm just going to read one verse and you can sit back down. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what?
Good.
Yes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we could never give enough thanks to God. You could say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, and just continue to go on. But we can never thank him enough for all that he has done. Let me ask you, are the words, thank you, Lord, is it enough? No. Something else has to come. When we say thank you, it requires action. And again, talking about kids, those of you that have children, you know this. When they say thank you, there's got to be evidence that they're thankful. And a lot of times they just learn because they're smart to say thank you and be polite so that they get another treat. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what we're supposed to be learning here. You're supposed to be appreciative and grateful, a grateful heart, a grateful heart. Many people are aware of God's mercy. Yet all that they've given to him is just a simple thank you. And that's it. It only goes that far. A thankful heart requires action, not just words. Slide two. It requires actions, not just words. I mean, we can say thank you in so many different languages and still not be enough. We could say thank you in so many different languages, but yet if there's no action and it's only coming out of our mouth, from our lips, I mean, even a person who can't speak because they're deaf or mute, they actually do something. There's actually some activity, and it's this. Where us, we'll just say thank you, but if you really don't mean it and there's no action, those words only go so far. At least someone who can't speak does something. Something active with their hand. Require. It means have a compelling need for, to call for. When you say thank you, just think about it. And maybe this will continue to go in your mind. But when you say thank you, the next time you say thank you, hopefully the Holy Spirit will say it's going to call you to act and do something. Now, a lot of times I stray away when someone does something nice or a blessing or they do something good to me, that I stray away from, oh, I got to do something back to them. Well, why am I trying to one up them? Am I trying to, you know, look better than them? Sometimes it's just a reaction that they've done something to me. I got to do something back. But sometimes being thankful, and I've learned this the last 2 months, got to learn to receive. Because that person who's giving has to learn the benefit and the blessing of giving. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm telling you, these last 60 days, I've learned how hard it is to receive. Our house has been flooded. And so many people, especially in this church, have blessed us and given things. And it is so hard and humbling to receive. Because a lot of times I want to say, no, 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 no. But then if I say, no, 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 I take away their blessing.
Yeah.
I take away their blessing from learning the blessedness of giving. And it is so difficult and so hard to learn how to receive. And it's like, Lord, it would have been great for you to have a couple of scriptures about how difficult it is to receive and that we just need to receive it. That would have been great. But the Lord's just been teaching me and showing me that the people that are giving and people who have a giving heart, it is their blessing. It is them to learn the blessedness of giving. Psalm 107 verse 4 says, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distresses. This is the Israelites. He led them. God led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The Israelites always found themselves drifting away from God, kind of like us. We always find ourselves worrying about something when scripture says, don't worry. Doesn't say be happy. It says don't worry. And it says, but make your requests known to God. Pray to God. Make your supplications with what? Thanksgiving. So when we have a thankful heart, there should be no room for worrying. But how many of you ever worry? A lot of times we stray away from what the scripture is telling us to do. The Israelites, they found themselves drifting away from God. They forgot about his mercy. They forgot about his blessings. They forgot that God says, you shall be my people and I will be your God. They forgot about that. And a lot of them, they turned to worship idols. They neglected God's commands. But until they realized, oh, wait a minute, who are we? Who is he? Who's God? Until they cried out to him for help, then God, rich in his mercy, for his mercy endures forever. What did he do? He came and delivered them out of their distresses. He came and delivered them out of their troubles. And it was the troubles that those knuckleheads got themselves into. But how rich his mercy is. His mercy truly endures forever. We look at David's Psalms today. We notice a man who has come to know his creator as his provider, as his protector, as his God. And one who is thankful. And it was more than just words that we read on this piece of paper. It was more than just words, but it was a demonstration in his life. There was evidence in his life. It wasn't just a bunch of words. Psalm 116 verse 12 says this, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. What are you rendering to the Lord besides just saying thank you? Because like we just talked about, thank you only goes so far. What are you rendering to the Lord? Are you stepping on the X marks the spot and say, here I am, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. My life is yours, no longer mine. A surrendered heart, a surrendered person to God so that God can do his things, so that God can do his perfect work. I think sometimes that on October 14th, 1994, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. October 13th, God was waiting for me. And when October 14th came and I surrendered my life and I'm crying, snot and tears falling, I'm talking to my sister on the phone and I'm repenting and giving my life over to God on October 14th, God is, I'm picturing God saying, now I can do my work in you, son. Now I can do my work in you, son. I've got many things lined up for you to walk in. Now I can do. Remain this way. Remain humble. Remain submitted. Remain in my word and I will remain in you and I will teach you. I believe that's what he said. What are you rendering to the Lord? Some of you can remember the old Wendy's commercial, little old lady, where's the beef? And the whole commercial was about there was not enough meat in the in the hamburger. Where's the beef? Where's your thankfulness? Well, Lord, I told you, thank you the other day, but where is it? What are you rendering to the Lord other than just words of thank you? Is your life changing? Is your life, are you standing on that X? Are you finding yourself more and more saying, God, forgive me, what a knucklehead. Lord, forgive me. I need you, Lord. I need you. Your life, your power, your life in mine. When it says, I shall lift the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What was David really saying? I thought about the Last Supper when Jesus lifted up the cup and as he was having communion. And that's what we do when we have communion. What do? We just drink, you know, a little bit of juice and a little small stale wafer. They're not stale, but they just don't have any flavor. What do we do? Is that all we do? What we do is we align our lives to the price that Christ paid for us. We align ourselves with Jesus Christ and we lift up that cup of salvation. We're lifting up and partaking of that cup that Jesus received, that Jesus lifted up, receiving and aligning with the Father's will, because that's what Jesus did. He aligned himself with the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. And calling upon the name of the Lord, that word Lord means supreme authority. So when you call upon the name of the Lord, what you're doing is you're calling upon your supreme authority. Help. I need wisdom. I need direction. Set me in line. Set me in track. Help me. When we call upon the name of the Lord, that's what we're doing. Slide 3, a thankful heart reveals more than words. This is what it does. Number 1, it moves you to honor with thankfulness. Think about how you honor people. What do? Do you just say, hey, I honor you? it has to require more than that. Moves you to honor with thankfulness. We just did something a little while ago. We took up tithes and offerings. And in preparing this, I thought, Lord, tell me when to preach this message again of how tithes, love offerings, and mission support you'll find in the New Testament church. Yes. And it's something that we ought to walk in. Not when we feel like it, but we ought to walk in. When we give God our tithe, it shouldn't come from the middle and it shouldn't come from what's left over. How many of you guys would like if I invited you over to my house and, you know, I give you, some stale saltine crackers because they've been sitting in there for a couple of weeks and some potted meat. Shannon, we just won't tell them the potted meat in the can's been open for a week and a half in the fridge. We just won't tell them. How many of you would feel honored or blessed or privileged to come to the pastor's house and we just give you, you know, just stale leftovers? You do that to God? Some of you are like, I don't do that. Well, good that you don't do that to God, but people do that. How do you honor him with your giving? Well, whenever I got it, if I have anything left over. Do any of you treat your guests that way? Why would we treat God that way? In our tithes and our love offerings and our mission support. We can find that in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 4, because tithing was even, it was there before the law was written. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1-8. A great Adam and Eve parents taught their kids well. One knucklehead got it wrong. But it says in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1-8, let's go there. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, if you want to write in your Bible, underline that. In the process of time, that's key. It came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He had some strawberries and went ahead at the process of time. Abel also brought of the, underline this, firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Why didn't the Lord respect? But he did not respect Cain and his offering. You want to know why? In the process of time. Cain just thought, well, whenever I have time, whenever I feel like it, whenever I want, whatever their thought was. But in the process of time is key. His brother gave the first fruit of his flock. God honored that because the one brother honored God in a way that he gave God first. Robert Morrison, A Blessed Life is a series. Find it on YouTube. Great series. If you've never heard it, Robert Morris, A Blessed Life. He talks about that when you get paid, you get your paycheck. That's a test. Are you going to honor God? The only way you're going to honor God is if you put him first. Not in the middle, not the leftovers, not after TDS and Sprint or AT&T phone bill, then God. No. You do it first. Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel about giving to God, about honoring to God. One gave first, the other in the process of time. And this was written before the law. They learned and they knew how to honor with thankfulness. And they demonstrated that when they gave the offering to God. Genesis 28, verses 20-22. Still, before the law was written, Jacob made a vow. Verse 20. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear. Anybody know that God does that for you? Don't fall into that trap that I picked myself up by my own bootstraps and I went ahead and made myself and I made this family. No. Don't fall in that trap. Verse 21, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone, see, he's recognizing what God is doing for him. And so he sets up this stone, this pillar, as a memorial. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And that was known as Bethel. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Your test to honor, to trust, to put God first comes with any and all increase. And we teach our kids this. You get money for your birthday. Ooh, $20. You find there's nobody around to see whose $20 that is. We've taught them let's just think of it this way. Whenever there's a plus sign to your pocket, to your billfold, to your account, that's a time where you have an opportunity, a test to honor God with all your increase, however it may be. Add to your pocket, to your account, wallet, purse. Robert Morris said, it is your test. And I thought, that is so true. It is a test of my heart that how thankful am I to God? Well, how thankful I am, I will honor him. I will honor him and put him first. Slide 4. A thankful heart reveals more than words. It moves you to praise with thankfulness. Sing, to rejoice. Well, I don't know how to sing. Some of you, you know you don't know how to sing, but you sing anyway when you're in the shower. You sing anyway. You shout and holler and cheer. Although some of you are probably crying because the Bulldogs lost yesterday. But you rejoiced and you recognize when your team won. I mean, I had to do it quietly because I didn't want to wake up anybody. A year ago, when my Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and I'm video chatting with Shannon and I'm watching television and I'm in Atlanta because the next day I got to get up and ride 74 miles on a bike, and I'm like, I'm trying not to be so loud, but you know what? If something really is important to us and it affects us and it brings such great joy and cheer and rejoice, something comes out, doesn't it? It does. A thankful heart reveals more than words. It moves you. It requires you to praise with thankfulness. Psalm 100. Let's go there. Psalm 100. And this is a song that we sing, therefore it's a psalm. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, when we praise him, when we're thankful and we praise him, there's no room to worry. There's no room for fretting. There's no room for whining. When we trust in him and know who he is and we're thankful, and with a thankful heart, we praise him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. But in every situation, by prayer and petition or supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Number 3, a thankful heart reveals more than words. Slide 5, please. A thankful heart reveals more than words. It moves you to give with thanksgiving. This is what I was talking about before, about the tithing. God loves a cheerful giver. The joy of giving, and a lot of people need to learn that today, because they just think, well, you know what? I mean, and even sometimes I think people get a bad rap because they're really trying to teach the principle of giving. And some people would kind of mention, well, they're just saying that because they want some money back in return. Look, God is my provider. God will be your provider if you allow him to be, if you believe in what the scripture says he is. The heart behind giving is a concept many never learn. Let us see what God says about cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It's a kind of giving that God is looking for that is cheerful, because he wants us to be cheerful. We got to learn what it means to have the joy of giving. Find it. Learn to live by this. It's not because I'm telling you. It's because that's what God is requiring. He loves cheerful givers. Anyone ever give you something and you could tell they really didn't want to give it to you? They might have held on to it a little bit tighter, you know. They really don't want to give it to you. That person needs to learn the blessing and the benefit of giving. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Because when you try to hold on to it, like that TV show TLC with hoarders, I mean, it deep down above the surface, it is sad. Because the person feels that they need to have all of that to feel whole, to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel important. When God has blessed us with all the things he wants to give us, it's so that it can come to us and then it can go to others. It's like a conduit. It's just, we just become a filter that God gives to us and we enjoy it. And then we got to look to see, okay, God, you've given me this. Now, who can I give it? Who do you want me to give it to, God? And then we learn to give. We can't take it with us anyway. You can try to have them stuff it, you know, in the grave with you, but that's as far as it's going to go. You can't take it with you. Give of yourself, your talents, your resources, your life. Jesus' disciples became martyrs. They gave their lives out of thanksgiving because they knew what Jesus had done for them. Thankful for eternal life, that they gave their life, they put their life on the line because eternity meant more than this life. When we can learn that the stuff we have in our closets and in our garage and in the storage place and in the other storage place and in the shed in the backyard, when we can learn all of that, when we can learn this truth, we don't really need that. But we can find ways to bless and give to others. Psalm 136, verse 1 through 5, talks about giving thanks. And again, it's not just words. You know, when David was writing the Psalms, I mean, he wasn't just writing for the top 10, you know, top 10 Psalms of, you know, greatest hits. You know, that wasn't the reason. It was because of what was going on in his life. And when we read the Psalms, we are getting a glimpse of who this man, who's known as a man who was after God's own heart. We're seeing what his life was about. It wasn't just a bunch of songs. Some of the music recording artists, a lot of them secular and non-Christian, they're just songs that they don't live by. They're just songs because it's popular. I mean, it always dumbfounded me that some preteen boy or girl is going to talk about love. You don't even know what love is, and you're talking about, and their song goes to number one chop, you know, the top charts, and it's about love or a relationship, and they're 17 years. Come on, can I get an amen? You're 17 years old. You don't know what a relationship is. You don't know what love is. It's sacrifice. Shannon will tell you, I could tell her I love you, Shannon, all day long, but she's like, not until you pick up that broom and dustpan every now and then, not until you help clean and set the table and cook dinner, then that really has more weight to it. Our words only go so far. What are you rendering to the Lord? What are you giving to him? How are you honoring him? How are you giving your life? His life lived up to, David's life lived up to what he said, to what he sang. So Psalm 136 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures. You think he just came up with that? He found that on the, you know, bathroom stall somewhere? You know, he heard that from somebody, you know, on a caravan, you know, walking the desert. No. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures. He's saying there's no other God like my God. Yeah. There's no other Lord like my Lord. I know him. Next one. Oh, give thanks to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. And lastly, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endure. And this continues to go on in Psalm 136. And it's not just something that he just heard. It's something that he understood. It's something that it was about. It's what he lived. This month, we just want to challenge you when we pray. As God gives you the ability to put into action the words that you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Whatever it may be, apply it. It requires action. Don't let your words only go so far. Go even farther with your action. Become God's conduit of thanksgiving. And we're giving you the opportunity. You might find another way besides Thanksgiving baskets. You might find another way. Then do it. Don't just think about it. Talk to somebody and then say, let's do it together. Right. Get somebody with you. Invite someone with you. God gave his best to reconcile us back to him. Not so that you can put bumper stickers on your car and have cool t-shirts. That's not why God gave us all of his blessingness and all of his blessings. It's so that we can come and be reconciled to him and be with him for all of eternity. So I encourage you, discover the blessing of having a thankful heart, a heart that honors God, a heart that praises God, a heart that gives to God, because it's going to require more than just words, more than just thank you.